Our main speaker tonight is Stu.
How's everybody doing? My name is Stu. I am an alcoholic. All right, can you hear me up there on the top? All right. I was going to light a candle for myself because before I came up here, I was getting heart palpitations over there. I was going to have a heart attack. Whew, my God. Now I'm relaxed. Now I'm relaxed. I'm thinking about this all day today. My sobriety date is October 9, 1991. I just celebrated 24 years in October through the grace of God and the rooms, people here. And I say that for the simple purpose of the people counting days here. That really got me centered, you know, once I heard that, you know, after the speakers were done, and they really did a great job. They calmed me down. You know, I felt good. I'm listening to AA now because I'm home. Basically, this is home. No, this is my family, man. You know, you people are my family. You don't know me, but we have a common bond. You know, and all you people counting days, congratulations. The young lady with 90 days, congratulations. I remember 90 days, man. 90 days, life was simple. 90 days, man, it was like $20 in my pocket. I went to the gym. I had a pack of Newport. I went to three meetings a day. It was like life was easy, man. I wasn't stressing about nothing, man. You know, it was like it's all good. You know, today my biggest worry was, you know, all day I'm blue collar guy. All day I got a hood on. I got a hat. I'm out in the rain. I'm doing my thing, and I get home and I'm like, oh, I gotta get my gel. I gotta get my hair right. That was my biggest worry today. I gotta get my hair's got to look good, you know what I mean? I got to get fresh. I got the suit. Now I'm going to have to put the suit in the bag. I'm not going to wear it in the rain. That was my biggest problem of the day. Biggest problem of the day. My biggest joy of the day was picking up my daughter from school. And I get emotional with that because it wasn't too long ago when I was a kid and my father showed up. And I put my football equipment on and stuff like that. And he's somebody banging on the door outside. And they go, there he goes again. He's drunk. You know? And that was, for me as a kid, and alcohol is not a problem. You know, this is AA, but alcohol is not a problem. It's Vince. Vince is laying no suit on. What'd you sue, Vince? So, and I, Vince is actually still mad at me because I didn't show up like 2 or 3 years ago to speak here. He's still mad at me. It's my man right there. That's my man. But everybody's laughing. Everybody's having a good time. See that? Nice and easy. Now you relax me by laughing. But, you know, and what that did to me as a kid, you know, was gave me all that shame, all the fear, the insecurity, the anxiety, all the worry. That was instilled in me as a kid. And what do? When we have those type of feelings? We know how to do it, right? First, my house was the party house on the block, 10 years old. My father was full-blown alcoholic, Wall Street guy, shop guy in 1970. You know, I think of a lot of people. My man Pasquale COD, who passed away, he was in these rooms. Change or die, Pasquale. He always used to say, a shop guy like me said, I have a sick body and a mind I can't trust. You know what I mean? And I do. I have a sick body and a mind I can't trust. Because you know what? Alcohol is not my problem right now. Like I'm good, you know? I can get that physical craving if this sick thing puts that into motion again. So all those feelings as a kid, like, you know what I mean? So how do we get that ease and comfort, right? That sense of ease and comfort. I could be restless, irritable, and discontent unless I can gain that sense of ease and comfort, which comes from taking a drink, which others can take with impunity, which where me and my friend Ray Ray were over here in this fancy cafe over here, and they were looking at us like, are you serious? I didn't have the suit on that now. Don't keep in mind. And it's a wine, it's a big wine distillery behind us. Wine glasses of people at the bar, and it looks great, right? Hey, everybody's having a good time. Nobody's getting in trouble, you know? And they call that, with us alcoholics, once we're sober, they call that blank spots, where when we want to go out and drink, the consequences don't come into play. There are no consequences. I'll be all right. It won't hurt me this time. You know what? Like, I'll just have a beer. I won't go to the hard liquor. I'll just have a little wine. I could be like a gentleman. I have never drank like a gentleman. I never drank like a gentleman. I drank for pure effect, period, end of story. My last run, I was begging dollars on a corner. That was my hustle. And that was it. That's where alcohol took me, and drugs. I mean, all right. I know it's Alcoholics Anonymous, but thank God for the powder because it took me down quick, and I'm being honest with you. You know, it's funny in these rooms because I know men who were full-blown alcoholics, never, ever touched a drug in their life. Full-blown heroin addict. Got sick. Full-blown crackhead. Came back in. So for me, it's, you know, look, a drug is a drug is a drug. Alcohol did for me what drugs couldn't. Alcohol gave me a sense of ease and comfort. Alcohol gave me that toughness. Alcohol gave me, I could talk to a young lady. But believe it or not, I was a shy kid. I was like the Spanish girls in Hoboken. Hey, Stu. And I'm born and raised in Hoboken, New Jersey. Might I add, real Hoboken when I grew up there, you know? And a lot of Spanish people back then. And I don't see, I couldn't find a good Puerto Rican anywhere no more. It's tough, you know? And the Spanish girls, I'd be going to the basketball game. My mother, still, at least I'm like all shy, walking with my mother like a little kid, but let me get a couple in me. You see me talking, boy. I tell you. But that's how it was. And you know what? All that, you know, like my friend Anthony says, I didn't come from just a dysfunctional household. I came from a dysfunctional neighborhood. And when you're the house in a neighborhood that's the house standing out, you got problems. You got problems. Now, there was a club around the corner, and I don't got to tell you what kind of club it is growing up in Hoboken back then, where my father would be. And I could see it clear as day. The football games are coming on, and my mother's in the kitchen cooking, and she's looking at the clock like, I'm going to kill this. You know, you feel the words. Out of the house. And I remember one day, never forget, I'm on a corner, and I hear two old guys behind me, and I see my mother whipping past me, and she goes, and they go, there she goes again, trying to get him out of the club. And you hear my father, John, throw me that water. You hear my father screaming, get out of here, get back to the house. Get back to the house, you know. Embarrassing as a kid. Embarrassing. Always that, what are we, egomaniacs with inferiority complex. I got to show you. But when you try to show me, I back down. I get scared. And that's who I am. And that's what the drink did for me all the time. The drink comforted me. It comforted me all the time. You know, I come from a long line of alcoholics. You know, I've had no role models in my life, no men role models. My grandfather was a vicious alcoholic who used to beat my grandmother. She couldn't even go to work for weeks at a time in the factory where she worked in Hoboken. Nicest lady. My grandmother was a saint. My grandmother, when she passed, they were like this, open it up. Open it up, let her in. She did enough for all of us. Well, my grandfather. And then it trickled down. My mother. Here's my mother wants to have a nice family, right? She just wants a family. She wants to get married. And who does she marry? My father. And she marries this Wall Street guy, thinks he's a sharp guy, like Pasquale C.O.D. used to say. Suit and tie in Hoboken in 1970. That was unheard of. You know, you were working on a waterfront, you know, with the other guys that ran a waterfront, or you were working in a blue-collar place, working on getting your hands dirty. There was no people going to Wall Street back then. This guy was sharp. He was my man. His favorite line was, my father always, when you get a chance, you know, the charmer, the big charmer, like we all are. We all are. Alcohol, we're charmers. We can, when we get sober, we're deadly. We're deadly. Can't stop us when we get sober. And together, come on, who's going to stop us? Nobody. That's what I tell you newcomers. You new people here, believe when I tell you, just latch on. Nice and easy. Do your steps. Don't take that. Don't take what I'm saying nice and easy. Easy does it. You better get into the work. Because for me, I learned a long time ago, I don't have the right to tell anybody, oh, sit back, relax, and listen. Or just don't worry about it. We'll work on it. No. I always say, if we have a deadly disease, right, we're running to the doctor. When we're alcoholics, so I'll handle it. I can get it. I got this. My sponsor always says, it's getting the wrinkles out of the belly. You start to get the wrinkles out of the belly. I start to feel strong again. Why do I need step work? And that hurt me a long time, as you're here, you know, in these rooms. I didn't benefit. I didn't drink, but I didn't benefit, you know. Still, you know, how am I going to be turning something over to a higher power if I got all that stuff inside of me, all that stuff in my gut, all that stuff that's happened to me over my life, and I'm carrying that, and how am I going to get more spiritual unless I do a thorough house cleaning? It's really not going to happen for me. It's not going to happen for me. You know, I used to think the 12 steps are going to hurt me. 12 steps are here to help me, man. Until I really go through it, like we said, when we have trouble with sex, we throw ourselves into helping others harder. That's the only solution here. If they said, Stu, get up here and say one thing, long-time recovery, how does it work? do what you tell us one thing, working with others, and I would sit down. Because there is no other solution. We have no other answer. There is no other feel good. There is no other way out. We can't escape no more. There's no escape. There's no escape. Working with others is our only, it says in step 12, if we're not working with others, we miss the whole ride. The whole ride. What are you here for? Why am I here at an AA meeting? What do I got to be here for? I could be home with my daughter. Because I owe. That's why I'm here. I owe. I'll never get over the fear. I'll never, you know, I might sound like I'm a little cocky, but I'm not. Believe me, I'm very humble. Hey, 5 o'clock this morning, I'm in the Bible. And I don't preach religion, nobody. It's a recovery Bible. It's your business. It's your business, your higher power. I stay grounded. And if I'm not working with others, I'm done. It's a matter of time. I go out. I'm not, but 24 years don't mean nothing. I've seen people go out with 30 years, 35 years, close to 40. My sponsor has 39 years in these rooms. Here's a man going through cancer treatments, okay? This got 2 pints of blood yesterday. Took him 8 hours. Right? Leukemia. And I was in a restaurant eating. He said, call Tommy the Hat. Tell him I want to go to a meeting in Bayonne. Tell him to pick me up. All right? 39 years. The man is not break. He did not bend. I never heard him say, complain one time. And I've seen so many people in these rooms go out like that. Like my heroes. My heroes going out sober. There's really, at this point in my life, all I want is 2 things. I want to walk my daughter down the aisle. I want to see that day. I want that. And I want to die sober. That's it. And work with others. See, I'll do 3 things. All right? I'm working with other people. See? Caught me there. You caught me there. You caught me. But those are my 2 dreams. Those are my 2 dreams. I tell you that. You know, so being that little guy, right, you know, and filled up with all this stuff in me. And now here it is. Like I said, my mother wanted a family. Here's my dad going through his stuff. My mother's getting beatings. I'm a little kid. I'm afraid. My mother's got black eyes. I see her one day. You know, my mother's throwing checks out the window to the loan sharks. They're coming to the house for the money. My mother's screaming, how are we going to pay the bills? Loan sharks are calling the house. I'm answering the phone. They said, we're going to kidnap you or your brother if your father don't have that money. So all that fear is building up in me, man. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it really shaped me as a kid, you know. And one way out of it was definitely alcohol, no doubt about it. When I had my, you know, we were down by the water in Hoboken back then drinking a 40-ounce of beer. I had the whole world, and I loved it. I loved it. My father gave me 1 thing. He gave me the love of sports. He gave me 2 things. He gave me, I believe I inherited my disease, there's no doubt in my mind. It's a long family tree on my grandfather's side all the way down, and he gave me the love of sports. And that love still carries me today, coaching kids and blah, 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 and stuff like that. But thank God he instilled it in me. He was a big track star at Jersey State. It's a shame. 42 years old, passed away, heart attack. His father, 48, heart attack. Now I'm over here, my heart's beating. I'm wondering if I'm going to make it up to here to start speaking to you guys. You know what I mean? So I'm 45, right? Now I'm saying I make it to 50, I'm good. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, so him, you know, him, he gave me the love of sports. He was always around. But you know one thing I got from him? He did the best he could. You know what I mean? He did the best he could. I have no ill feelings. I wish he was here today. I wish he could see all this. But this is how it goes. You know, this is how it goes. When we think that's a revolving door with those 2 gentlemen standing in the back, that it's all right, I can go in and out. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Hopefully you make it back. Good friend of mine. It's amazing today, the people I saw today. I see my friend's father. He lost 2 sons. He's standing outside the bar lit up. Right? He don't get it. He don't get it. I see a friend of mine who another good friend of ours passed. The doctor told him, drink if you're not going to detox. What happened? He had a convulsion, cracked his head open, and died. A few weeks ago, my age, 45. I see another lady who lost her son, my good friend Peanut, last year, right? 3 of those people I saw today. It's weird how I come over to this meeting. God, I think God wants me to, you know, it's always around me. It's always in my life. Alcoholism and addiction has been a part of my life my entire life, and it was never pretty for me. That's why I don't talk pretty about it. I don't glamorize alcohol. I didn't see good sides like in a movie where Humphrey Bogart's at the bar in Casablanca with a drink and a piano's playing. I saw the ugly stuff, all right? And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. So that's why the message I can relate to people out here is, listen, when you walk through that door, the excuses are over. There's no more excuses. Oh, I can't. Well, this ain't the place for you if you can't. These are called action steps. 1, 2, 3 is an idea. 4 through 9 is where it goes. And if I'm not going in that direction and I'm not going there quick, then I'm not really not doing nothing. I'm just sitting and waiting like a time bomb. That's what we're doing. We're waiting and it's ticking. And it's a matter of time because it's going to come at me anyway. Lust, anger, resentment, fear. The disease says I can't get him to drink no more. I just showed him a whole bar full of wine. He don't want that. So I got to get him another way. I got to get him another way. And it's not about the alcohol, like I said, because alcohol was just that little mechanism that I had to give me a little peace and ease. 15 minutes. See, I'm doing good. Where's my water? Here it is. Yeah, all right. Sometimes I talk myself out. I tell you, I'm like, I get tired of hearing myself after a while. My wife, I ain't going there tonight to hear you. My wife's in recovery. My wife's sober for 9 years. I'm going to hear you. I'm walking in the rain. I'll stay home with the baby. I said, all right, good. It's better. Better off. But it's nuts. And what a life. Let me tell you, what a life I got. I'm blessed. So getting through like what shaped me and what molded me, you know, like playing ball helped me out a little bit. The physical aspect, go get a lot of anger out of me. You know, in 85, you know, I never forget it. We'll go get the call from this girl, this young lady that my father was dating. This lady, her daughter called me and said, you know, your dad's in the hospital. Don't look good. He had a heart attack. And never forget when it came out. He hands a chain. The doctor hands a chain to my father's girlfriend and stuff. And I'm like, well, that was it. My father was gone. And I never forget my aunt rolled me home, right? My aunt Anna. And thank you, Cynthia, for having me speak today. Before I forget to thank Cynthia, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And my aunt Anna drove me home. I never forget it. And she looked at me and she said, "This is what happens when you live that life." Very simple, very plain, looked at me. Because she saw it. She said, "This is where you're going, so don't you get it? This is what happens when you live that lifestyle." You know, 1980s, you're throwing hundreds of thousands around on parlays and football games. You're drinking liquor excessively. You don't think something's going to happen to you? Come on, man. You know, this is the direction we go. I thank God for making me an alcoholic. Like the anonymity we're reading, that's good. But for me, anonymity don't apply to me. It don't. I don't care. Who knows? The more people know, the better for me. I was never one of those guys shy, "Oh, don't tell them I'm an alcoholic." I don't care. Let everybody know. You know why? Because if I'm not out here doing God's work and opening this mouth up to help others, I'm available everywhere. And of course, I'm not going to, you know, press, radio, or film. Of course. We're not doing that because then people say, "Oh, look, he was in rehab. It don't work. See, he's drinking again." So we don't got to go that route. But as far as our level, it don't matter to me. And I love this program. AA has given me a life. I didn't have a life before I came to. I always marvel at people, like, and I feel for them, that come in here that had jobs, kids, family, wife, lost it all, come in trying to get it back, you know, really getting back. And, you know, I'm divorced and now this and that. I marvel. I came in 21 years old. I got sober. My first rehab, I was 17 years old. Turned 18 in the rehab. I had a birthday in the rehab. I was court ordered there. I had no choice. I had to go for 7 weeks. He was at that or the county jail. Big tough guy I am. I said, "Give me the rehab." You know what I mean? So I'm like, "I ain't going to the county. The county's dead. You can't even eat in there." You know, so I go to rehab and stuff like that. And it's the first time I've learned about a disease. They're like, "Stu," but I'm like, "I'm 18 years old, man. You think I'm going to stop drinking at this point?" It was 1988. You know, Hoboken was still Hoboken back then. It was on. You know what I mean? It was like, it was live. Everybody was out. It was great. Like, you know, and I'll just say this because it's AA and I don't want to put it nowhere else. Smoking crack was like it was smoking cigarettes back then. It was an epidemic. It was there. All right? And I won't say no more on the drugs. But like I said, alcohol was my beginning, ending, my all. That was it. In my hand all the time. Whatever I did, whatever I was going, I loved to drink. I didn't love the other stuff. It was just there. You know what I mean? I just loved to drink. I loved the way alcohol made me feel. I remember my grandmother looking at me. It was a big punch bowl in the house. We had pennies. I'm wrapping pennies to go get a tall boy to start the day. This is where my life was at the end of my addiction. This is where I was headed. No, I wasn't a stupid guy. I mean, I worked on Wall Street. I had jobs. I had opportunities. I had tons of chances in my life. I didn't care. Nothing mattered to me. That's why I even marvel at people. You kept a job when you were drinking? How would you keep a job? I mean, you had to be blessed. You had to be blessed. I couldn't even get out. I was done. I ran the streets all night. I loved it. This is what I did. And I told Ray before, the only way I drink in a bar like this was if somebody was buying. I'm not spending nothing. And so I get my rehab, right, the first rehab and stuff, and 7 weeks. I felt good. First time I felt good, probably since I was 12 years old, since I started drinking. You know what I mean? And I get out, and it's like, go to meetings, get a sponsor, you know, all this rehab stuff, you know, 90 meetings in 90 days. You know, back in the days, Bill and Bob, well, I don't think we're talking about 90 meetings in 90 days. They were like, Bob was in rehab and in hospitals getting the worst of the worst. Do you think you have a problem? Yeah, good. Get on your knees. You believe in high power? Good. Get on your knees now. Turn over. Boom. Let's start writing. Boom, 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 boom. Steps back then were 1, 2, 3 in the room, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12. Then they give you a card. Here, go in the meeting. You're qualified now. Put your hand up. That was AA. Structure. We still got that. We still got that today. But like I said, we want to do it our way. And I'm here to tell you, trust me. Trust me. 24 years, I've been battling with people. They come. I got friends who've been using for 30 years, drinking and getting high. They're going on disability, taking pills. I got to go on disability. I can't work. Because they've been drinking and getting high the last 30 years. Okay? And they got all the answers, man. There's no life there. Trust me when I tell you, believe. Just ask me after the meeting you want to talk about this disease. There, I have never seen a successful person drink and get high the way we do it. Never. Never. And do it successful. Do it without consequences. Do it without interruptions. Do it smoothly. Do it the next day and be like, hey, how you doing, guys? I feel good today. Never. 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 And they know. They all know, my friends. When they say meet, they'll be like, oh, it's over. That's it. Stu's here. I'm the last man in, like the closer. They'll be like, oh, no. We got to hear this guy. All right, I'll go to rehab. All right, just where? Just tell me where. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, but it's crazy, man. It's blessings on top of blessings, man, in these rooms. And you know what? I've never heard, and I'll say it. And I said it in the men's meeting, but a guy said, oh, I was doing all that, and I still went out. I've never heard a person say, I'm making meetings. I'm meditating. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. I'm working with other alcoholics. I'm doing step work with people. And I went out. I never heard that. The only assurance we have is working with us. What does it say? Our constant thought must be on others. Constant. Not all once in a while. I'll pick up the phone and call somebody. Constant thought must remain of others. In or outside the rooms. You know, some people say, hey, whatever. Yeah. You know what? For me, it's the only way I get centered, right? When I heard those people counting days, I'm like, that's what you're here for, Stu. That's what you're here for. These are the people that need to hear something, you know? And I hope I can give them something. I really do. Because all it is right here, right now, in the beginning, is hope. It's hope. The men I met in these rooms, my God almighty, I was thinking about today. Guys, that when I went on retreats and I tried to fight that to the end, my sponsor, like I said, Pasquale C.O.D., Leo the Lion, Frankie B. These guys were all in their 50s. I was a 21-year-old kid. They were all smiles. All smiles. They were all gone, all passed on sober. Kid, how you doing, Stu? How's everything? Boom, boom. It was lovely, man. And we got that here. See, that's the first thing that holds us. You know what? We know the alcoholic and addict in the room. We got that camaraderie. We instantly hit off. Only we know the despair. It says we're like passengers rescued from an ocean liner, enjoying camaraderie. We got all that right now, but that in itself will not keep us together. We need that inside job, the higher power. Yeah, we're together, but it's an individual job. It's an individual job. And if you don't get that stuff out, whatever it is, we will never. I was listening to the radio today. And they were talking about Johnny Football on the radio. Johnny Manziel and Chris Carter said, who's sober probably as long as I am. He said, Johnny don't even know. It's not even about the alcohol. And it's not. It's not about the alcohol. It's about the lifestyle. It's about the big shotism. It's about the egoism. It's about chasing money. It's about all the nonsense that we think is important. It's about status. I got to get this. I got to get that. And alcohol goes hand in hand with all that. You know what I mean? Know what it's about? Helping somebody. That's it. I don't care what anybody tells you the rest of your life in these rooms. If you're not working with other alcoholics, your recovery will not last. And what good is it? Selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of all trouble, driven by a hundred forms of fear. And when I'm selfish and self-centered, I'm very fearful. Very fearful because I'm not doing anything to help myself. 5 o'clock in the morning, I get up. I want to beat my wife and daughter. You think I want to get my wife and daughter running out of that room? I can't even relax 5 minutes. have a cup of coffee. I got to beat them. I got to get up. I got to get the meditation books out. I got to start reading them. I got to get in mode, because if they get up, here we go. I got to run out now. I got to get ready. I got to jump in the jacket. The dog is up. The dog wants to go out. You know what I mean? So before they all get up, we got, and the reason I say that is we have to do things. We have to do things for our recovery. We have to take time out for our recovery. Can't just be in a rush all the time, because you sound like me. You sound crazy. How much time we got left, young lady? 5 minutes. Oh, my. Come on, man. I thought I had at least 10. I'm only kidding. I'm glad it's over. And real quick, we'll talk about fear or faith right now, right? And I often send that text out. Fear or faith? Where are we living at? So just because we're sober, what do we think? It's going to be peaches, cream? It's going to be roses? No. Right? My daughter's born 09 January. My daughter's not looking. My daughter's not talking. My daughter's not responding to nothing. I'm calling her name. No turning around. Long story short, diagnosed autism spectrum. We're heartbroken. The whole world. Everything goes. That's why I got emotional before. I said, pick my daughter up, because she'll never see me like that. Let me tell you something. I pride myself on that. And I'm not saying my daughter is not going to keep me sober. Oh, yeah, my kid, my daughter's not keeping me sober. The work I do in here keeps me sober. She's a bonus. My wife is the bonus. That's it. So we get that news. Now what? Now what? Me and my wife fought like a crusader. Oh, you know, she got diagnosed, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, we look at each other and say, I said, listen, it's fear of faith. What are we going to do? We're going to treat our daughter different. We're going to be worried. We're going to be afraid. Is that how we're going to live? Hell no. You know what I mean? My daughter today, hundreds and 90s in a regular class. Hundreds and 90s in a regular class. Now, I'm not saying that's anything to do with me, because I'm a dummy. My wife is a smart one. She's like reading the bus. Yeah, I'll pay the bills. You handle that. Don't worry about it. Ava laughed. My daughter laughed. But you see the blessings by having faith. By having faith in her. You know, and I tell the story of my friend Patty, where I said I saw his father outside the bar. There's a guy who finally wanted to get sober, finally, was on retreat with us, had 8 months sober, bad case of pneumonia, right? Suffered, took us home, drove us home that Sunday. I get the call that Sunday, I'm telling Ray the story here. Where's Patty? Can't find him, blah, 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 blah. Dead on the floor. Dead on the floor with his mother. I'm with his mother. In the house. All right? 8 months, finally sober. You know what the body said? Too bad. Too bad. Can't help you, my man. You're done. My friend Peanut, crying out last year. Done. On the floor. Body wouldn't do it no more. Mother's pulling the dog off and the dog's licking his face on the floor. Okay? Good friend of mine. Grew up with the kid. All right? Now I don't say that to scare nobody, but I say that to people, newcomers, and that stays fresh in my mind because of the simple fact that, listen to me, there are no rainbows out there. There's no way you're going to go out and drink successfully. There's no way you're going to get high successfully. The days are over. If you're here, just settle in. Settle in. Settle in. You know what? Almost, I should speak to the lifers in Rowe. Almost be like a lifer. Settle in like you got the sentence. Just settle in. Well, this is it. This is it. You will have no more peace. Not after hearing me, you're not going to have any more peace. You're not. It's over, man. It's over. And you know what? And the beautiful gifts you get, like I said, and I'll stop with this because she's looking at a watch here. She's like, Stu, come on, let's go. I'll stop at this. You know what? My greatest gift here is the faith that I got, my higher power through you guys. Thank you.